Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just to get a little bit more perspective on that and the Browns running back battle, we bring in a former running back of the Cleveland Browns and a super friend of the show and an outstanding track coach. From what I hear, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. His name, Jamel White. Hello, Jamel. How are you?
What's going on, my man? How's everybody doing?
How are you? Tom Withers is in today for
Jeff.
Hey,
Jamel. Good to hear from you, man.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm good, man. I mean, I'm just out here. This weather's nice. I mean, it's good. It's better than being cold or raining. Yesterday was bad because it was raining a lot. But
you run fast. You don't drive fast. Am I right?
No, I don't drive fast, man. I'm like an old person, dude. Like, really. Like, I'm not trying to mess around.
It is true. I've been in the car with him before.
You know what?
You always drive slower, me or you, Jamel?
I drive slower than you. You're like a race car driver.
No, I am not like a race car driver. Now, at least not Andy. Since the last time we were in the car together.
Listen, I've been in the car with you, so I know how you switch over lanes. I know how you get busy. So, yeah, you like a race car driver.
I will say this. Even in my times covering you back in the day, Jamel, you always came across as kind of an old soul, though, like a good, grounded person that kind of understands, you know, what you should and shouldn't be doing on and off the field. We know how hard you had to work to get to the point you did and have the career that you had. So just, we're both curious as to your take on Shadur and what's transpired here over the last couple of days with these speeding tickets.
Dude, so this is my take on it, man. Like, when you get into the NFL or whatever the case is, like, I don't know what his background is like, but it seemed like he is one of those people who really didn't have a hard time growing up, and you got to appreciate things a little bit differently. And I'm not saying that he doesn't appreciate things, but that would be somebody's take on it. Like, dude, you don't really appreciate the opportunity that you're getting. Now, at the same time, it's just a speeding ticket. I mean, but they're fast speeding tickets.
Yeah,
for sure. You can end up doing damage to yourself and other people, but you know, that would be like somebody's take on what's going on with him right now. Like, do you not care? And I'm not saying that he doesn't care, but that's like somebody looking outside.
That's the impression you get, right?
Jamel, if they said, hey, Jamel, we want a vet to come in and talk to the rookies, what would you say about getting your name in the headline outside of football?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think all rookies need somebody to talk to, man. And that's one of the best things that the Browns did when Mr. Lerner was alive, man. Like, when you go out on Tuesdays, they'll partner you up with, like, somebody like Hanford. You know, that's how I met Hanford. That's how I met Reggie. So they would help me not make mistakes because they already made them, right? So they kind of understood, like, hey, Jamel, you're young, you're about to run into this, this, and this, and you should probably think before you just do whatever. And that, I'm telling you, man, that put a big light on certain things that I shouldn't do. But also, man, just my dad in general, growing up with him, he was a military dude, so I wasn't about to get away with murder at my house. And plus, you know, I have a single parent growing up, and it was my dad. And certain households is not that way. So I just kind of understood things a little bit differently, and I wasn't given a whole bunch growing up. So
yeah, can you kind of talk about your background a little bit too? Because I don't know that everybody knows. I mean, you didn't have you didn't grow up in the safest neighborhoods. Is that the nicest way to put it?
Yeah, man. Like, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles in an all-blood neighborhood, and, you know, it was, you got to get up every day when people worried about certain things. I was worried about, you know, I just got to survive for the day. You know what I mean? So the reality was you wanted to either play a sport to get out of there or do something to get out of there, or you end up dead, man. So where I'm from, it's a little different, and how I grew up was a little different, and how my dad had to kind of put rules on me and kind of make sure that I learned on my own and not take up from me for everything, it's different nowadays, man. Kids don't get that. Kids, you know, and I'm a victim of it. I mean, not a victim of it, but I'm a person that does it to his own kids himself. Like, you try and give them everything that you didn't have, and that's not always a good thing.
Jamel, then, how do you think the Browns, I don't want to belabor the point here on Shadour, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, like you said before, it's just a traffic ticket, but it's a, I don't know, there's some red flags here in, to some degree. How do you think the Browns are viewing this? Do you think, is this where the team would then reach out to him in this situation? Do you think there's a phone call made? Like, how do they take something like this, you know, an early misstep, if you will? Again, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is something. How do you think the Browns view this?
Oh, I most definitely give them a call. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you about to run into a person who could be a big-time hit for you because you draft them late, you got a good bargain and a quarterback. I want to step in front of it early so I can be like, hey, listen, this is what we need to kind of establish. And I'm not just talking about the Browns doing it. Joe Flacco, people like that, like the veterans should be stepping in there like, look, man, here's the deal. Like, I had a great one, man. Roman Oben was awesome for me. Like, he was a lineman. I'm a running back. This dude took me underneath his wing, was like, all right, this is what you don't want to do, and this is what you do want to do. And when you have that kind of environment, that locker room like that, that's what should be expected. And you can't put everything on the Browns, but those veterans got to step up and kind of try and show them the way. And I think they should do that with all of them.
Do you think that the average fifth-round draft pick would probably be sweating bullets when this happens?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But I don't know that Shadour is. I mean, one, because maybe he's a quarterback, and I don't know. I mean, really have it, too. So, but I would think, like, if this would happen, Jerome Ford, fifth-round draft pick, right? If this would happen to him, I wonder if you're Jerome, you're probably worried. You're like, oh, I was a fifth-round pick, man. I'm already trying to do everything I can to make this team, and now all of a sudden I got this over my head, and now the coaches are going to look at me sideways, probably, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would do that, man. I was an undrafted free agent, so everything that I did, I wouldn't go out. Even when I did get a little bit of money, I still wouldn't go out. I wouldn't go hang out with nobody. I didn't go do crazy stuff. I was always thinking that everything I do is under the microscope. And the other crazy part about that is when you've done playing football and you've been put in that spotlight, you never come out of that spotlight. To be honest, you may dim a little bit because you're not playing, you're not on TV all the time, but you get these diehard Browns fans that remember you. And so you just can't go out and just do whatever you want to do. And if you're a fifth round draft pick, sixth round draft pick, nowadays even a third round draft pick, man, I'll be stepping so, like, I would be on eggshells all the time, man. I'd be trying not to do the wrong thing, man. Like, that would be me. But at the same time, his background, the way that he was raised, I don't know any of that. I don't know that Deion probably got on the phone with him like, hey, man, what you doing? You know what I mean? Like, he probably did that. You never know. So I just think right now, him being a rookie and doing things like that, he just got to tone it down. It's a little bit different from being in college.
Let's talk a little ball for a second, Jamel. You can break down running backs having played the position as well as anyone. In Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, the Browns seem to have a nice couple options here going forward. What are your initial impressions on those two rookie backs?
You know what, man? Here's the thing about them is they're going to come out and they're going to be explosive. They can run in between the tackles. They could go outside. They could catch the ball. I think they got – the Browns have always had, like, an electrifying backfield to me. Either they had a good one or a good two or a 1A, a 2A. I don't never look at them as they just want bigger dudes. Like, Nick was the exception to everything. But nowadays, if you look at all the teams, it's running back by committee most
right.
times.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a third down back in both of those dudes. You can run up the middle in both of those dudes. So, you know, and I don't want to take any of the other running backs out of the equation, but I'm always excited about running backs. But at the same time, you got to have that offensive line. You know, you could be excited about a running back, but my first year here, I would get a handoff and get tackled before I even got a ball. So you may have good running backs, but if your front ain't where it need to be, that don't matter.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jamel White, former Browns running back, joining us. If you're Jerome Ford and you've got Dylan Sampson and you've got Quinshon Judkins, breathing down your neck, how do you approach camp? Obviously, he took a pay cut too, restructured his contract. If you're Jerome Ford, you're the vet here, although Pierre Strong's here too, but I'm just curious your thoughts of Jerome Ford's situation, knowing that Judkins and Sampson are here.
You know, he got to approach it a little bit differently now. And I think he probably understands that. Like, every time he approaches a game, he got to approach it. And I'm talking about preseason. You got to make things happen. That's just what it is. Because at the end of the day, they're going to come down to who their roster is going to be. And if there's not enough room for extra running backs, if they got to take more DBs or more wide receivers, and nowadays people are taking more DBs and more wide receivers because you can put a wide receiver in the backfield and not have to block into a little screen from there. But, you know, you got to start putting he does have good game tape, but when he gets into these preseason games, he got to put some things into play for himself just in case things don't work out for him here. It's a great thing that he took a pay cut, so therefore they're like, okay, we can – probably get him through this other year, but at the same time, for himself as a business, he has to, you know, he has to produce the way that he's been producing.
I do got a couple other questions I want to ask you that are just kind of football related. First of all, Tom and I were talking before the show about 7-on-7, and I know you do some high school work primarily with track. I'm just curious your thoughts on 7-on-7 because it seems to me, and maybe I've just been blind for the last couple of years to it, but it seems to me it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, like, I see every month, every week, you know, here in the month of June, you see these high school teams that are out there with their non-linemen out there, and they're out playing 7-on-7. Like, should that be a sanctioned high school sport? Or, you know, when you look at that, is this good for the skill players?
I think it's good for the skill players, but it's also bad for the skill players. Mm-hmm. And this is why I say it's also bad. You know for a fact that you're not about to take a slant over the middle and just get to run free. That is not going to – somebody is going to light you up. So at the same time, you're teaching bad habits to these skill players. You are. And then you're telling the linebackers, okay, you just got to pass them off. No, they're not going to pass you off. They're going to take their little 5 yards and they're going to try and dump you in the ground. That's what they're going to do in an actual game. So you're teaching things that is not normal for when you put pads on. And then you want them, after, I don't know, 2 months of doing 7-on-7, they go into practice and they thinking they about to run and somebody just going to pass them off. Or are you just going to run in the middle and no one's going to light you up? Dude, come on. Be real. Like, I'm all for 7-on-7 when you are in, like, a practice type of atmosphere and you have on the shells, you know, you got your helmet on, you're starting to think a little bit. I'm not running in there like that. That's crazy. But I think 7-on-7 is a work in progress. They need to kind of bring some stricter rules to it, I think.
Preach, Jamel. You know, it reminds me of AAU basketball and having coached both boys and girls in high school. It would take us the first month of practice to get them to forget about all the bad habits they had just learned during their AAU season. And I kind of feel the same way about 7-on-7. It's not real football. And I mean, it's great in that it allows those skill players to, you know, develop their skills and what have you, but I just don't think it's a bad version of football. Would you agree?
Oh, I do agree. And the other thing that I didn't even mention, what quarterback just sitting back there for 4 seconds?
Yeah.
Who gets to sit back there, move your feet around? You have no, I mean, your pocket presentation, the way that you have to maneuver the pocket, it's not there. They're not just letting you sit there and just, oh, I get to scan the field, read it, do it all. Nah, you under duress, homie. Like, honest to God, there's big dudes coming after you, and you have to look through lanes to find all your different receivers, even your running back. Because let's just be honest, how many quarterbacks are 6'5"? Because I could tell you a whole bunch of linemen at 6'5". But if ain't nobody in front of you, you get a free vision of the field? Nah, that ain't going to happen. You got to, in a real game, you're looking through lanes. Look at Baker Mayfield. How tall is this dude? He makes all his passes because he has lanes he has to look through. You don't get that in 707. It's just a bad habit. So you take the idea of trying out. Yeah, some people look good when they try out because ain't nobody putting no pressure on them. Just like these quarterbacks, wide receivers, these running backs, they look good playing 707. Then you throw them pads on them, and you're like, wait a minute, who's this person? That's the person that you really got.
But it is good for Jamal, don't you think it's good for the universities? Because now you get all these kids on campus. Like Ohio State, we were talking about this, the last three, I think three of the last week, this week might have been the last week, but they're hosting 18 schools every Wednesday. And so maybe we're creating some opportunity for these kids to get looked at. That's the only other thing I can think of.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they're going to get looked at, but if you're trying to create that opportunity, that's great. But anybody who has a good football mind, they understand all the ins and outs of that. So when you're looking at a 707 game and I'm a coach at whatever university and I see a wide receiver continuously taking a slant and running across the middle where he knows that there's going to be linemen, linebackers lighting them up, I know that that's not real. So I can have that talk with him and then look at him on game tape when schools actually start playing. And then I'll see, okay, he's not going to be able to do that now. My focus is what is he doing in his actual game tape. And that brings me to all these kids nowadays. They send out these highlight tapes. Coaches don't want to see no highlight tapes. They want to see you in an actual full game. You messing up, you coming back. Can you come back and get it together after you done fell apart? Like, that's what they want to see. But now all these kids, man, they send out these highlight tapes. Like, colleges want that. But like I said, when you're doing 7-on-7, if you're a real football guy and you're really paying attention, you can weed out all the garbage.
You're looking at feet, my friend, aren't you? You're looking at feet. Jamal, we got to run. Thank you. Appreciate you. You're a man.
No problem.
Bye. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jamal.
All right.
All right, there you go. Browns former running back Jamal White on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be giving a seminar on how to make the pros from 7-on-7.
He was great.
I didn't think we were going down that road, man. He exploded on 7-on-7. So we'll talk more about that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.